The government recently released the much-awaited draft national e-commerce policy. While the draft focuses on six broad issues: data, infrastructure development, e-commerce marketplaces, regulatory issues, stimulating domestic digital economy and export promotion, many deem the 41-page long draft as protectionist, given the focus on data localization. Well, the question is it a protectionist policy? Will foreign firms have to step back on account of these added regulations, or will it create the much-needed fair marketplace between foreign firms and domestic firms? To lay threadbare the policy, we're now joined by Ankur Bisen of Technopak and Sanjay Sethi, the CEO and co-founder of ShopClues. This is Tech at Work, and I am Reema Tendulkar. Gentlemen, thank you very much for joining in. Ankur, let me start by you. And for the uninitiated, if you could start off by telling us the salient features of the draft e-commerce policy.
Yeah, before I jump into the draft e-commerce policy, I think we need to understand how e-commerce has been viewed by this policy. So there are two aspects to e-commerce that the policy has viewed. One is e-commerce as a retail business. And there are a bunch of announcements around what the e-commerce policy talks about. And then e-commerce has a technology, online technology play. And then there are issues and announcements that address that part. So if I talk about retail play, the policy is very sharp in saying that we will not be in a position to create a dominant online retailers. And they've curtailed, the policy has tried to sort of curtail online retailers to not build their private labels, not do inventories, stock and sell, and sort of push up your marketplace model. Now, it has implications, and it is a genesis to how retail business and FDI in retail has been sort of looked at since 2006. And I think what I see in the policy today is just an extension of that. So retailers make money by doing private labels, by doing stock and sell. And but the policy now says that you can't be doing that. So that's one part of it. Second is retailers also make money by doing backward integration. But the policy has been restrictive in saying that you can't have direct party relationships with your vendors in terms of cross investments or investments in your vendor businesses. So you need to sort of curtail that and become a pure marketplace and allow this platform for vendors to come on board. So the genesis to this is that that the government sees retail as a very important social, political, a sector with social and political significance. There are 30 million plus people who are employed in retail business. It's been iffy about opening up retail for brick and mortar retail, and so is the case with online as well, and sees a similar threat there. Now, when you come to technology play, there are a bunch of announcements around that, and you mentioned data privacy. And that's where the e-commerce view in India, in the policymakers, is an extension of what and how globally regulators are looking at online technology. Privacy data has come under severe scrutiny, not only in India, but also in countries like Denmark and Germany. People are looking at that we can't give free pass to these companies anymore, and it needs regulation. So the entire announcement around data needs to be preserved, be stored within the confines of India, has a genesis to this thought. So these are two pillars in which the policy announcement needs to be understood.
Okay, so when it focuses on retail, it seems to be promoting more offline, especially in an election year. And also when it focuses on technology, it speaks a lot about data. And Sanjay, I want you to come in here because I'm reading verbatim. They're saying the data generated is a national asset. The government and the citizens have a sovereign right over it, and therefore foreign companies need to localize data. Do you think the draft policy focuses excessively on data, and therefore would you call it protectionist?
So, Reema, Ankur, I think just quickly, I would say that, you know, protecting an industry does not mean protectionism. I think there is a difference. And I think there is a negative connotation to protectionism, whereas protection is the right and duty of the government. And I think they are doing their part in this. I think if you read the draft policy, there has enough and more time has been given on the philosophy of the policy. It talks about, there's an entire preamble in the executive summary that talks about why and what of the policy. And I think, and if you look at, just do a quick search of letter and spirit, you will find letter and spirit, I think, mentioned at least five, six times in the entire draft policy. And just to answer your question, what it means is that the policymakers are very clear that data is a national resource, not a natural resource, but a national resource. It has to be held in trust for the people. And I believe it is a very important activity that any sovereign government has to do. And I think India is, I would say it is a little delayed in doing this, but you know, better late than never. So it is protecting for sure, but I don't think it is protectionism.
Okay, so it's protecting the domestic industry, Sanjay, but do you think it makes it more difficult for foreign-controlled e-commerce companies to do business in India now?
So, Rima, I think on this one, it's very clear. I think we should not confuse Amazon and Walmart as the only foreign companies who are interested in India. I think what is very clear is that it clearly mentions out, and like Ankur said, you know, the policy of FDI in India has been the same since 2006. Nothing has changed. What has changed is that certain companies have decided for the longest time, for almost 12 to 13 years after the FDI policy was launched in India, e-commerce was happening the way it was supposed to happen, both in letter and spirit. But I think in last 7-8 years, people have found loopholes and circumvented the letter, I think, even and dramatically the law, the spirit of the law. And I think what this policy is trying to do is, it has, and what FDI policy has done in the past, it has given clarifications saying that, you know, you are probably maybe following the letter, but you're definitely violating the law, the spirit. The spirit of the policy clearly says that SME is a very important ecosystem for us. Capital dumping cannot obliterate that ecosystem that has been created. It has to be preserved for the long-term good of the nation and the consumers. So what will change with this, Rima, is that FDI will not, the policy will not prevent foreign companies from coming into India, but it will now start attracting those companies who are desirous of not only to follow the letter, but the spirit of the law. It will definitely have an impact on two or three people who do not have a desire to follow the spirit.
Okay, which are these two or three companies who don't want to follow the spirit of the law?
So it's clear, I mean, Amazon, Walmart, clearly, both of them have created structures which are inventory-based, and they knew that inventory-based models are not allowed. I'll give you an example. eBay was operating in India for almost 15, 16 years till they sold their assets to Walmart. But while they were in India, they've always followed the letter and the spirit of the law. They ran a marketplace in the country exactly the way FDI policy required it to run the marketplace. It only changed, since Amazon, Flipkart / Walmart started finding structures and ways to start circumventing the spirit of the law. And hence, these clarifications became very, very important.
Ankur, come in on this. So what will be the required changes in the business model, say for the largest two companies? One is Amazon and the other one is Walmart, Flipkart. And with the requirement to host the data locally, what will be the additional investments that these companies will need to do? And therefore, is there a risk these foreign firms step back as they now need to comply with the spirit of the law?
Yeah, so as far as the business model is concerned, I think a mindset change is required in these companies to position themselves not as retailers but as service companies. So a lot of their revenues, which used to come from the arbitrage of margin between buying and selling, will now be shifted to charging a service fee for vendors and looking at whole range of service models or listing models that needs to become the mainstay of their revenue stream. So because now they have to sort of promote and push their platform.
Once they move towards a service model, what changes in their profitability should we expect?
But I mean, profitability, we have not reached that far as yet, even in buy and sell model. So, of course, they can look at the service model afresh as well, because the same issues around EBITDA are still there. People are still quite some time away from making profits. So it's not as if inventory-led model for them was making money in India. But as a result, that question becomes a theoretical question. But as far as service model is concerned, the mindset needs to change from a buy and sell to a service model. In terms of incremental capital required and the shift towards data protection, see, if you ask me, the capital investment for data protection is the investment that goes into servers. It's not not a big issue to sort of just install, take up a place and start installing servers and give access to the government and make sure that the data is preserved locally within the confines and the geographies of India. So the incremental capital is not much. It is the intent of the companies to make sure that they are willing to do so. Because what they end up doing is, because for them, data is the wealth, and the kind of data that they generate, the kind of control that they have on data, secure in central servers, much away from the geographies of India. That's the key issue, as Sanjay also mentioned. Data per se is becoming a key issue for technology regulation worldwide. And it's not an India-specific issue. And that's why the differentiation needs to be made between protectionism and making sure that the asset of data is protected. And these are two different issues. So to that extent, I think if these companies were to present an argument that it is prohibitively expensive to do that, that's not the case as far as money is concerned. It is about the intent and making sure that you abide by what the government is asking you to do.
So, Ankur, is this a correct way to do it? Because, say, Alibaba in China would not have become so good if China, say, had opened up its market to an Amazon. So the question is that if China can be successful following this strategy, will India also be successful? And therefore, can we see a bunch of homegrown, you know, tech giants who are, you know, global players now?
Yeah. So partially, countries, in my view, have started to buy the China argument that you need to build domestic assets in this business. You need to encourage domestic companies. It's too big an issue, which has security implications, social implications, to just provide a carte blanche of sort for international companies to come and just roll over. So, China's case is an extreme case in the sense nothing happened and it was absolutely a complete blank, and that promoted domestic sector to grow and become dominant. But a sort of a middle of the road approach is something that a democracy like India will embark on, to say that we need to build, groom domestic companies. We need to provide a level playing field and ensure that the issues around data are secured and protected. So to that extent, I think the thought is there now to say that we need to become more assertive and around technology, and we need to sort of make sure that domestic companies grow in this area as well.
Sanjay, so the sense we're getting now is that this is protecting the domestic industry, and there are some added regulation for foreign control e-commerce firms. Is there a possibility for smaller domestic retailers that now they will be dominated by bigger domestic rivals, say like a Reliance or a Future Group? So earlier they were dominated by the Amazons and the Flipkarts of the world, but now it will be some of these bigger domestic firms like Reliance and a Future Group which can dominate the smaller retailers, domestic ones.
Rima, it's a very, very good question. And I think it is definitely worth asking. I just don't know how, you know, the dice will roll on this. But if the concern of the regulators have been that capital dumping should not obliterate competition in the market, then I think it should apply equally to both foreign and domestic players. So far, dumping has not happened from the domestic players, but I think if that is the spirit of the law, then I think you're absolutely right. It will probably be trading one problem for another. The policymakers are very clear that small and micro small businesses are the ones who need to be enabled by the e-commerce policy. They have to be digitized. They have to be brought into digital India. We want to encourage Startup India, Make in India. All of these things, you know, what the policy talks about basically is clearly saying that we need to create an environment in which we can enable these small players who can then compete fairly on a level playing field.
Sanjay, I want to come in on the online versus the offline model now, because these rules, the draft e-commerce policy, seems to be benefiting the offline player. In fact, there was a report which says that as the e-commerce industry copes with the evolving regulation, offline stores could go get more business, and their revenues are slated to increase by a massive 10,000 to 12,000 crore rupees in the fiscal year 2020. That's what CRISIL estimates, the rating agency CRISIL. How are the rules for online players now vis-a-vis that for offline players? And the reason I ask is because there is a regulation on advertising, something which is not there for offline, or the liability to ensure the products are counterfeit or, you know, they're not pirated. That liability is now with the e-commerce company, but I don't think such similar rules exist for the offline players. So now how would you compare the level playing field between online and offline, Sanjay?
So, Rima, just to, again, to put things in perspective, online e-commerce is about 3% of the entire retail. So it's very, very minuscule. 97-96% of all retail happens offline. And I think seeing this world in from the lens of online, offline, I think will be a mistake. We are getting into the world of omnichannel retail, where online players will want to be offline and offline players want to be online. And I think that is the main thrust of this policy. It is basically talking about digitizing India. And if you digitize small businesses, they will, of course, want to, if you have a physical retail, you want to be online. If you have an online retail, you want to be physical. And I think it is just taking away and making it more, I would say, again, a level playing field for, and it's not differentiating online, offline that significantly. I think your other question was about...
On the counterfeit products, because the liability now rests with the online players.
So, see, I think you're absolutely right. In the online world, actually, let me correct that. In any digitized world, it is so much easier to manage and control the menace of counterfeit. And I'll give you an example. If there was, let's say a factory that was manufacturing counterfeit products and have been distributed into the offline world, it is very hard for a brand owner or a trademark owner to actually cut down that distribution network. Whereas on an online world, it is a matter of just informing the online player, saying that this product should not be sold, and it just takes seconds to take it out. So I think in that sense, online is much more effective in controlling the menace of counterfeit. What actually I saw in the document, I think one thing I disagree with the policy here is that it has given the trademark owners too much control. In fact, the control is almost has become draconian for small medium businesses. It is almost saying that if a brand owner decides that XYZ seller who has the legitimate right to sell this product should be disallowed, that is not, there is right to there's right to.
So brands are far more control now.
It is suggesting far more control, and I think that control should not be given, because that takes, we need to protect the rights of the SME. I think that clause suddenly takes the rights away from the SME and gives it to the brand owner. The brand owner basically can decide you can't sell this product or that product. That I think is again very draconian. I think that should not happen. We should allow whatever. Any legal entity who wants to sell a product legally acquired, should be allowed, and brands should not have undue rights to curtail that. I think that is a little bit misguided, I believe.
The only disagreement,
yes,
with you. That's the only place where you disagree. Ankur, New Delhi has invited comments on the proposed rules by 9th of March, and the policy, of course, after that will undergo consultations and iterations over the coming months, after which we will get the final policy. Sanjay said that he disagrees on the excessive control which seems to be given to the brand owners vis-a-vis the intermediaries, like the, like a ShopClues, for instance, or the SME players. What will be the comments that you will give to this policy, and where do you disagree with the policy?
One line comment is that e-commerce policy is a work in progress, and I think still it's you would see additions, you would see addendums, you would see improvisations, because the sector and the technology around the sector is evolving rapidly, and I think we are yet to appreciate, as all stakeholders, all the nuances of how these various policy implications play out in the market. And as a result, I would not be surprised that every 6 months or every 1 year you would see some additions. Even after the draft tenets are finalized, you would see a lot of addendums coming in, and you would see a lot of clarifications coming in. So it's work in progress, and it'll continue to be so, because the sector is evolving. It's not a stable state. As far as disagreement is concerned, I am not so sure whether what the point that Sanjay made is a very interesting point, that in solving one issue of capital dumping from international players, are you creating a situation for domestic behemoths to emerge and again do the same thing? And we are yet to sort of see how that plays out. Because if the letter and spirit of the policy is to be respected, then the policy should not be viewed as an online sector, but it is a channel that you are trying to build to enable better retail in India. And retail is all about 15 million shops, 13 million people, vendor base, SMEs all over, and how do you bring them together in an efficient and effective manner. So I don't know whether the policy will be in a position to sort of continue with that letter and spirit that it intends to in the announcement.
Now, as a stakeholder, what will be the comments that you will put forth to the government?
The clarification around the enablement of domestic sector, how you are going to achieve that in this policy, I'm not too clear about it. And I would seek more clarity on the incentives for domestic players to sort of grow. What is it that you can, cannot do? So a little more clarifications around that. Apart from that, I'm largely in agreement with whatever has been announced in the policy.
Gentlemen, thank you very much for joining in, Sanjay as well as Ankur. So lots of interesting insights coming in. It is seen as protecting the domestic industry, but not protectionist. And it's also creating a level playing field, not just between the foreign firms and domestic firms. And more importantly, I think going ahead, we will want to see an equitable level playing field between the bigger domestic players as well as the smaller players. So largely in agreement with what the government has put forth in its draft national e-commerce policy. Thanks again, gentlemen, for joining in. And this is a note for all you viewers. Do tune in to our Tech at Work podcast. They're available at all the platforms on which podcasts are consumed, like in Audioboom, Google, Apple, Spotify, etc. And you can also catch this video on YouTube. Do send in your comments on my Twitter handle, Reema Tendulkar. Thanks again for watching Tech at Work. I am Reema Tendulkar, and I'll be back with another episode.